Good afternoon. We're going to open this presentation on the first half of 2015, and we have Xavier Echeverria, the chairman, Mr. Ignacio Martín, and the CFO, Mr. Tarco. So, Xavier, you have the floor. Hello, good afternoon, everybody, and many thanks for attending this conference call. My name is Xavier Echeverria. But let's start off by pointing out that the results for the first semester are in line with the annual objectives, because we have received a total number of firm orders totaling 1,835 megawatts in this first semester, which means that it's been a 41% increase relative to the previous year. And only in the second quarter of this year, 2015, the order portfolio has increased by 1,017 megawatts. In other words, this is 27% of increase relative to the same period of the previous year. Our sales in the first semester have totaled 1,651 million euros, which represents a 31% increase year on year. And then we have the EBIT margin, excluding the impact of the Atwin operation, total 136 million euros that are equivalent to a margin of 8.2% relative to sales. And this margin relative to revenues has been 8.4%. And this level of EBIT of 136 million euros accounts for a 64% improvement relative to the EBIT of the same period of the previous year. And then we have the net profit prior to the Atwin operation totals 86 million euros, which multiplies by two the levels of net profit achieved 1 year ago. As regards the balance sheet, in the first half of this year, Gamesa ends with a positive cash flow of 39 million euros. And Gamesa is now in the position of commercial strength, and it's supported by a diversified presence and by a solid product portfolio. And the leadership position in emerging countries is supplemented by significant growth in developed countries. And the volume of orders in Gamesa regions of Europe and the rest of the world and the United States has increased fourfold relative to the first half of 2014. And this accounts for 43% of the total of the number of orders received in the first half of the year. But it has to be pointed out that this percentage was 14% in the first half of 2014. And I would also like to underscore that as regards this order intake of 1,035 megawatts in the first semester, 45% of this order intake corresponds to the launch and sale of new machines, which with the G114 rotors and with powers of 2 and 2.5 megawatts are having a very high degree of acceptance by all of our customers. And then we have order entry, which is in agreement with the targets that we set within the business plan 15-17. And on June the 30th, we have achieved the volume commitment established for 2015 of 3,100 megawatts. And we've also increased the visibility of our sales for 2016 and 17. So that means that the order book for beyond 2016 has grown by more than 66%. So in as regards the figures, it has to be pointed out that order intake in 2H has been 1,017 megawatts, which means that it's a 27% increase relative to the previous year. And in the first half of the year, we had an order intake of 1,835 megawatts, or which is the same thing. It's 41% more. And these order intakes mean that at the end of the first half of this year, the order backlog has a total figure of 2,847 megawatts, more than 900 megawatts compared to the position that Gamesa had 1 year ago, and it's 49% more. So this order backlog has 1,515 of orders to be executed during the year 2015, which is 36% more than 1 year ago, which, as we've already mentioned, this provides a nearly 100% level of coverage for the activity guides that were given for 3,100 megawatts, although it also has to be pointed out that the orders pending execution in 2016 and 2017 account for a 66% increase relative to last year. In other words, we've reached a level of 1,333 megawatts. It also has to be underscored that this order intake represents a continuous improvement in the book-to-bill ratio, which in specific cases, and now at the end of the first half of 2015, we're talking about 1.24 versus 1.09 we had in the first half of 2014, and 1.32, which is the ratio in the second quarter of 2015, that is much better than the figure of 1.15 obtained in the first quarter of this year. And it has to be said that in the last 12 months, Gamesa has had an order intake totaling 3,853 megawatts in firm orders. And revenues have gone up 31% and 19% at constant exchange rates. And this strong growth can be found fundamentally in the sales of wind turbines, and with a volume growth in excess of 25% compared to the previous year. And sales in terms of wind turbines in this first half of the year have reached 1,427 million euros. In other words, this is 36% above the figure reported 1 year ago. And as regards O&M revenues, growth is also 6%, and we now have reached a figure in revenues of 223 million euros. So this growth in revenues and this growth in activity means that we have a continuous improvement in the profitability of our company. From an operational perspective, more than 64% relative to what we pointed out 1 year ago. And net profits, which in the first half of 2015 are more than double the net profit obtained 1 year ago. And this is a positive trend, because the evolution of our operating profitability is growing. And the EBIT margin of the second quarter has represented 8.2% relative to revenues, compared to 8% of EBIT relative to revenues obtained in the first quarter of the year 2015. And here, a specific mention has to be made of the fact that we have reached 136 million in EBIT prior to the Adwin operation for the first half of 2015, which, as I said before, this represents an improvement of 64% in EBIT improvement and 8.2% in the ratio relative to revenues. So this means that we have an increase far above 6.5% we had last year. And the net profit, as I pointed out, multiplies by two, the net profit of 1 year ago, and now reaches 86 million euros. And it has to be mentioned, too, that the net profit per share is also multiplied by two, and now stands at 0.312 euros in terms of the ratio that I've just pointed out. And all of this has been supported by the clear guidelines of this company, which, together with increased revenues and with a strict control of structures and with the continuous optimization of variable costs, and we also have the positive net effect of the currency, together with an adequate capital structure with larger volumes, this means, or this has allowed the company to obtain the results that I've just been pointing out. But it also has to be mentioned that we have a very strict solidity in the case of the balance sheet as one of the priorities of the company, because we have control of debt, which is a very important thing in the context of rising activity. And it has to be pointed out that the activity of the first half, as I've just pointed out, has improved by 25% in terms of the first relative to the first half of the previous year, and the ratio of financial debt relative to EBITDA, which was 1.8 times in the first half of this year, is minus 0.1. And we've improved our net debt position of 549 million, and now we have a net cash position of 39 million. And this is a growing profitability. We also have control of the working capital, and we have the planning of investments, which are the main pillars that provide greater support to the solidity of the balance sheet that I've been talking about. And of course, and I would like to finish here, we are obviously leaders with a very significant level of health and safety at work. This is one of the most important challenges for the company. Our safety indexes have reached historic levels of 1.27%, and our severity index figures have improved continuously, and they now stand at a historic ratio of 0.013. Hello, good afternoon everybody, and thank you very much, Xavier. My name is Gnadir Dathkov, and I'm the CFO of Gamesa. But let's move on now to analyzing the main financial magnitude of the consolidated group, and let's look at the figures for the first half. Starting off with the group revenues, we've reached revenues of 1,651 million euros, which represent a growth relative to the previous year of nearly 31%. And our activity measured in equivalent megawatts reaches a figure of 1,481 megawatts, which is 25% increase relative to last year. And then with revenues in O&M of 223 million euros, which is nearly 6% more than what we reported last year. Our underlying EBIT now stands at 136 million euros, which is 64% compared more than what we had last year, with an underlying EBIT margin of 8.2%. And the EBIT margin for the second quarter was 8.4%. In other words, we have an improvement, and we've moved from 8 to 8.4. And then the O&M EBIT margin has nearly been 13%. In other words, that's 12.9% in the full semester of the year. And in the quarter, it reached a figure of 13.2. So we're in line with the guidance we have given to the market for the entire year. And our EBIT, our accounting EBIT, is 165 million euros, which is double the figure reported last year. And then as regards net profit, the net profit pre-Adwin, prior to consolidating the entire Adwin operation, and the results of these first 6 months, it stands at a figure of 86 million euros, which is double the figure reported last year, which was 42. And the net profit per share reached a figure of 97 million, and last year it was 42, so it's 2.3 times more. And here I would like to say that in the second quarter, the net profit before Adwin was 42 million euros, and the net accounting profits were 35, and the difference can be found. So the 7 million difference has to do with the consolidation of Adwin, and it's very important for you to take into account that this does not have any impact on cash, that it's an accounting consolidation because of equivalence reasons, and this is why we are underscoring this separately so that you can have a clearer picture of what's going on. And then working capital in the second quarter, well, it finished in June with 274 million euros, which is 34% lower than the figure reported for the first half of last year, which is 8.5% relative to sales. So in other words, we have an improvement of 8 percentage points in working capital, with a net financial debt, which is net cash of 39 million euros. So we've also improved the figure of last year, which represents a ratio of 0.01 times negative relative to EBITDA. So with all of these things in mind, what we would like to underscore in this case is that the guidance is in line with this half of the year, in other words with the 3,100 megawatts we have established for the entire year, and we trust and hope that in the second half of the year our activity will be somewhat higher than the first half of the year, and with EBIT margins that are going to be fully in line with what we have established to end the year, in line with the guidance that we established for the entire year. But if we move on now to the wind turbine generator activity, what we can see is that the activity has been growing in these last few quarters thanks to our competitive position in this business. And the activity of the half of the year, by comparing one half of the year with another, has gone up 25%, and the quarter has gone up 24%, that is Q2. And this is completely in line with the guidance guidance for the year. As regards prices, I would like to underscore, and this is the first statement, is that prices in the last 7 or 8 quarters seem to be stable by region and by product. So we haven't seen any price variations per megawatt in any of the markets where we are operating. And as you know, well, traditionally, we usually present the average price per megawatt globally for the group, but this is an average price that is not an indicator of how the margins are evolving in the case of our company, but this is a descriptive indicator of what the price of our sales are in the turbine division divided by the activity megawatts we've had. But it's very important to underscore that it's not an indication of how the margins are evolving that we have from one quarter to the next. There's a high level of volatility in these average prices, as you know, we've explained this many times, and this has to do with the regional mix, and this also has to do with the different scope of the project. So this is why we have included the semesters here that reduce volatility, and you can see that we've had a growth of 9% in average prices from 0.89 to 0.96. But in any case, and quarterly, we can see that this volatility that arises from the currency effect, which is favorable in 11 percentage points, well, this quarter compared to the previous quarter of the previous year, we have another positive effect produced by the launch of new products of G114 and taller towers, and this has increased the average price per megawatt, and we also have effects that reduce the average price per megawatt, like, for instance, we have increased our sales in China, and as you know, in China, the scope of the project does not include the towers, so the price per megawatt is much, much lower compared to other regions, and in the mix, China makes the average price reduce a bit, and then in the quarterly comparison, and by comparing the first quarter with the second quarter of 2015, there's been a slump, and this has been produced by the scope of the projects, and above all because in the first quarter of 2015 there was lots of assembly work in some region, and that this assembly has not taken place in the second quarter of 2015, so this has reduced the average price, and this has not had any impact on the margins. But in any case, what we can see is that the evolution of average prices we've had in the first half of the year is fully in line with the evolution of the average prices we have established for the entire year. So in other words, we are doing things according to our guidance. But continuing now with the wind turbine activity, our geographic diversification, as well as our commercial diversification, according to customers, allows us to have a much greater solidity in our results and in our revenues. So we still have a strong presence in growing markets, but we also have a relevant degree of presence in already developed markets. And as you can see, the geographic mix presents a very proportional distribution in each one of the markets where we operate. You can see this on page 14 of the presentation. I'm not going to refer to each of the figures, of course, but what I would like to stress as regards the typology of customers, where you can see the customer mix, where we establish a difference between the IPPs and the electrical utilities and others that are already financial institutions or other kinds of customers. What I would like to underscore is that the growth that we are having in the case of the electrical utilities and of other companies, non-IPPs, is growth that favors us, especially in those regions in which we are working in developed markets, both in Europe and the United States. It's something that we already saw in the strategic plan when we presented this, and we knew that this was going to favor us because we'd already achieved consolidated presence with IPPs, and we can see that quarter by quarter there's been an increase in the electrical utilities and in other kind of customers. As regards operation and maintenance, we can see that sales have gone up in line with our single-digit forecast, nearly 6% in the first half, €223 million, and our operations and maintenance margins have improved compared to the first quarter of last year. It's 12.3 last year and 12.9%. And we also have much greater improvement, 12.5 to 13.2 as we saw before this year. So we have an increase of nearly 11% in terms of absolute values in this first half of the year. Our profitability now, measured in EBIT relative to sales, well, the figure last year was 6.5% and it's 1.8% in the first half of 2015. And the positive factors we've had in this evolution basically are a volume effect, a significant volume effect with a cost structure that was absolutely under control with a very light kind of growth. And we have an optimization of variable costs where we are still working on our continuous improvement programs, and we'll be talking about this later on, of course, but this allows us to counteract some negative effects that we've had and that exist in any profit and loss account. And thanks to our continuous improvement, we've achieved a much greater sustainability of margins, and we also have a favorable evolution in the rate of exchange in this half of the year. And I'm not going to mention all the figures, but you can see the different effects. Volume, optimization of variable costs, which is nearly 100 base points. And then we have the impact of the rate of exchange, 0.8 points. And this has counteracted the negative effects that are related to a mix effect, because there's been lower contribution in operations and maintenance, and in some products in certain regions the margins have been lower compared to the first half of 14, and with some negative effects that we already explained in the first quarter of 14 that had to do with the launching of new products and also with the launching of new factories in Brazil and India, where we were still not operating with standard costs, or we had not yet achieved the forecast costs. So this allows us to improve our margins, and in the first half we have reached a figure of 8.2%. And then we have the profitability of the turbine division, which is what we're going to be looking into right now. As you can see on this chart, well, this has been growing in the recent quarters. In the second quarter, we have reached 7.7% of EBIT margins in the case of the turbine division. And in the last quarter, it was 7.3%. And you can see that since the second quarter of last year until now, the increase has been 1.5 percentage points, which is a relevant amount of growth, which is fundamentally supported, apart from by the effects we saw before. But this is supported fundamentally by our continuous improvement programs, as well as by our leadership in terms of quality, which, based on the methodology of our 915 project, allows us to counteract any cost pressures from this period of important growth. And we also have the launching and implementation of new products and factories. As regards balance sheet management and working capital, as you know, this is one of the fundamental elements where we are still working on improving our working capital. And in this semester, on June the 30th, we've managed to reduce our working capital by 34% relative to the first half of 14, relative to 1 year ago. And the figure is now 274 million euros, which represents 8.5% relative to revenues. And all of this in an environment in which there's more activity. Our activity has grown in this first half by 25%. And the improvement in terms of working capital, and we have repeated this many times, but this is based on a very active management. It's based on a very straightforward kind of management, and we're bringing manufacturing in line with collections. We're also managing receipts, and we are also focusing on the projects so that we can establish very clear-cut targets in the case of the project leaders as regards achieving the cash profile of the projects, as well as a much better working capital. We are monetizing assets, and we have a continuous improvement activity that, as you can see on the right-hand side of the chart, this has allowed us to consolidate our improvements in terms of working capital. So this means that we can be fully in line with the guidance for the year, which is less than 5% of working capital relative to revenues. We have managed to reduce the average working capital in each one of the previous semesters from 24 to 16, and now 10% of consumption of working capital relative to revenues in the half of the year, with a certain amount of seasonality, as you know, relative to the rest, to the end of the year, and you know that our working capital is greater than what we have at the end of the year, as we've had in all the quarters in all the previous years. But finally, I would like to point out the following so that you have a much better understanding of what these results are like. The impact of formalizing the joint venture with Arriva, the creation of Adwen, and the consolidation of Adwen in this first half of the year. Well, the first thing that I would like to stress is that all of the effects you can see on this transparency are effects that have no impact on cash. So in other words, they are accounting effects that have an influence on the profit and loss account of Gamesa. But we have a capital gain of 29 million euros in terms of EBIT, which at the same time has corporate tax of 8.2 million. But in any case, this is a cash impact because we will resort to fiscal loans and negative taxable basis so that we can pay this corporate tax, so there will be no payment here. And then we have a line of 9.7 million euros, which is the outcome of Adwen that we are consolidating, which is the outcome of the entire half of the year, and which produces a net profit of 11.2% in terms of improvement in this half. And the outcome doesn't have any tax effects, and we have no tax shield either in the books because of this. So, as you can see, what we are doing is presenting a pre-Adwen net profit and an accounting net profit, and we're doing so separately so that you can understand much better the results of Gamesa and what has an impact on cash and what doesn't have an impact on cash. But from the point of view of the corporate tax, as you can see, there's a relevant impact as regards to the creation of Adwen, and this also has an effect on the corporate tax as regards Gamesa as a whole, because this leaves us with a corporate tax, recurrent corporate tax in this semester of 28%, which is in line with our estimates for corporate tax of the year, and this is also in line with our guidance of about 25%, with a range of plus minus 3 percentage points as a function of where the results are and in what region we're talking about and what kinds of projects we're dealing with. So Adwen, what Adwen is has been doing in this first half, the activity of Adwen is focused on achieving operational improvements and in finishing the projects, as well as operation and maintenance of the projects that have already been installed, and we are working very hard in Adwen, and we're also working significantly in the implementation of the Vikingur project, 350 megawatts. It's 70 wind turbine generators in the generators in the Baltic Sea. And we are also developing the 8-megawatt machine, an 8-megawatt machine that will allow us to carry out the projects we have in the pipeline for the years 19 and 20, which I think is going very well, and also carry out our commercial development in Europe in the short term so that we can increase our sales. So Adwen, by the end of the year, the impact of Adwen as regards the net profits will not be material, and this is in line with what we have been mentioning about Adwen. And now I'm going to give the floor to our chairman, Mr. Ignacio Martín. Thank you very much, Nacho. Let's talk about the future now. Let's talk about the outlook for 2015. And after listening to this information and considering what we've done in the first half of the year, we can confirm the guidance, in other words, those that we had in terms of volume in November 2014 and the balance that we presented in February of 2015. But regarding growth, what we said is that we were going to be in the high level of the guidance. In other words, we're going to be very close to 3,100 megawatts. And this is something that we can confirm thanks to the catchment of orders. And this provides us with coverage for this year of something like 97% so that we can reach these 3,100. So we will achieve that level. As regards the EBIT margin, what we have seen is that we had a second quarter with 8.4%, and the quarters, as has been explained by Nacho, as regards the average price of the megawatt, they could produce a certain amount of distortion because of the scope of the project and because of certain geographic issues, etc., etc. But what we can see is that we are in a stable position and we are fulfilling the expectations we discussed at the beginning of the year. But what has to be underscored, and this is something we said on June the 16th during the Capital Market Day, the merit of what is being done fundamentally arises from being able to transform volumes into a standard outcome. In other words, our operational leverage in the case of an industrial firm like us with significant growth in volume, I would like to remind you that in the last 3 years, and with the guidance we are giving, we've had growth in excess of 50%, and we are capable of transforming this volume into results. And finally, all of this with a balance sheet discipline, as we pointed out too. So in recent years, Gamesa had not finished in the cash position in the first half, but this is something that we have achieved now, and I would like to say that as regards the second half of the year, there will be a little bit more in terms of investments because we have to get ready for future possible growth, and at the same minute we also have the payment of dividend that has already been made, but this is going to have an impact on cash generation, which is what we're going to do in the second half of the year. But in any case, we are still continuing with all of our forecasts and nothing has moved there. And as regards the Capital Market Day, what we said about our 15 to 17 business plan, this is completely in line, and this allows us to ratify what we said at that point in time. So in other words, that we will have that two-digit growth that would allow us to position ourselves in between 3,500 and 3,800 megawatts. In 2017, we'll have an EBIT margin in excess of 8%, and the volume, well, this will depend on our scope, of course, and we will multiply by 2 the absolute value of the operational results, in other words, before financial results and before taxes. And as regards the working capital, we are managing things as established. In other words, we are fulfilling our guidance of being below 5%. We are fully in line with that. And as regards CapEx, what we have is we're going to have an increase in CapEx, which is going to happen in the second half of 2015 as a forecast, so that we can go back again to our traditional parameters of investing in maintenance that will be something like 3.5%, and all of this so that we can create value for our shareholders and so that we can obtain ROCE of 4% greater than capital costs, and this is something that will grow even more in the future, this plan. But apart from fulfilling this plan, we also spoke about activities that could give more visibility to Gamesa beyond 2017, and in that regard I would like to say that in the second quarter of the year we've had activities that allow us to feel confident about what we said. In other words, what we said is being fulfilled and is going to be materialized, and we've already obtained the first orders in solar activity in India with 10 megawatts, and this, as I say, will allow us to perform an analysis and to confirm if this EPC branding, if it is or not a business opportunity for Gamesa. And as we've also announced, we have announced an agreement of intentions with South Edison with a volume that could be 1,000 megawatts in the next 3 years so that we can co-develop activities in different countries. So this could allow us to implement a number of actions in terms of our pipeline, but also in the area of services. We have also signed contracts with Energy Trust for 900 megawatts, and this has been signed in Q3 in June. So all of this allows us to feel confident that we are doing what we did point out that we were going to do in order to have future areas of growth beyond the year 2017. But we also mentioned some time ago that the macroeconomic situation as well as the regulatory context was much more positive than what we saw 3 years ago when we implemented the previous plan. So all of these things are now becoming more and more specific. It is clear that there is some news that is not positive, like, for instance, the discussions on regulation in the United Kingdom, and those discussions are not positive for the onshore wind business right now, or the circumstantial situation of a country like Brazil. And this is not positive news, however, in other locations, as could be, I don't know, places like France, or as could be India, or as could be the United States. We do have indications that are pointing out that the regulations could be made much more specific, and the same could apply to Mexico, where regulations could turn out to be favorable so that we can give more support to renewables and in particular to wind power as well as to solar power that could also affect us to a certain extent. And that could allow us, or that could help us, to achieve our objectives. And finally, as a conclusion, it has to be pointed out that what we have said or what we have done in this first half of the year corroborates what we said at the Capital Market Day. In other words, everything is in line with what we pointed out on that day. So therefore, what we can see is that this two-digit growth is there for everybody to see. And we have achieved results, and we also have achieved operational leverage. We have achieved these margins in spite of the significant growth. We are going to achieve this, and all this is going to be based on the continuous improvement program, and it's also going to be based on a stricter control of the balance sheet. And as we've also said, what we have to do is focus our efforts on other areas for additional growth that can give us additional visibility relative to the future. And with this, we'll be able to create value for the shareholder, and we will manage to improve our results relative to the amount of capital used. So I would summarize all of these remarks by saying that there are no surprises. Everything is evolving along positive lines, which is what we pointed out during the Capital Market Day. The outcomes or the results for the first half of the year prove this, and we hope that 2015 will finish, as already explained, and that the scope of 15-17 and beyond 17 will be fully in line with what we have mentioned until now. Thank you very much, Ignacio, and now we're going to move on to the questions. Let's start off with the questions in Spanish, please. Good afternoon. The discussion starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 0 or 1 on your keypads. The first question comes from José Manuel Arroyo from ISAN. Hello. Good afternoon. I had several questions. Firstly, I would like to know about the agreement with Sun Edison. And could you please say something about the contract and volumes for 2015, 16, 17, and 18, and up to what extent is this different compared to the framework contract you have with the United States, and would this include any prepayments? And the second question has to do with operation and maintenance. Could you please give us indication of the average duration of the contracts and how these contracts have evolved? And thirdly, as regards the potential of Gamesa in the North American market, if there's PTC there? Well, regardless of whether it's PTC or not, would Gamesa have volumes of about 400 megas in the United States? And I'd like to know if we could have greater volumes than that in 2015. And then you spoke about the negative effects on the EBIT margins. I didn't understand that clearly. So could you please go back to that point again? Thank you very much. I'm sorry we had an interference there from a telephone or something. Well, José Manuel, this is Xavier speaking. As regards the first question relative to the scope of the Sun Edison agreement, what we have already signed is a memorandum of understanding, an MOU, for the purpose so that from now until the end of the year, so that we can look into joint possibilities of carrying out co-development actions and selling wind farms together in a number of geographical areas agreed upon in advance. And the objective of this joint venture, the target is 1,000 megawatts until 2018, and right now it's too early to know how this can be done with this, with these 1,000 megawatts over the next 3 years. We will discover this over the next 3 months, or possibly in the first quarter of 2016. As regards your second question, with regard to Sun Edison, there's no similarity with any of the framework agreements that we've signed until now, because this is an agreement, this is a co-development agreement, and it's also a supply agreement for Gamesa wind turbines to those wind farms that Sun Edison and Gamesa deem pertinent that should be included in the system. And, well, then, as regards operation and maintenance, which has to do with your second question, the megawatts, in other words, the average duration of the contracts signed is approximately 7 years. Yes, you asked about the order backlog. The order backlog is 1.9 billion euros. And then the third question that has to do with PTCs. Well, we, on the Capital Market Day, what we pointed out is that our position is that as we are members of the UEA and as we are in close contact with the North American market, we were very cautious, which is something very traditional in this company, and we felt that there were signs of optimism to the extent that it seems that political support was being fostered in the early days of May when we had the opportunity of attending that meeting. But it has to be pointed out that on July the 21st, the Economic Committee of the Senate has approved, with a slight markup, the text that already exists for PTCs. So that means that this is one of the necessary steps that has to be taken, but this is something that usually happens at the end of the year. And the fact that this took place on July the 21st means that the possible renovation of PTCs could happen from now until the end of the year, although we have to be cautious as usual and see what's going to happen in the next few months, but we are optimistic in this regard. And this renovation of PTCs, should this occur, of course, would not mean for Gamesa, or at least we think that this would not mean that there would be a significant increase in megawatts in 2017 or 2018. Because what we are assuming is that our current market share and the megawatts included in the business plan would be maintained. But let's say that there would be a constant evolution relative to the levels of sales and megawatts, which would range between 400 and 500 megawatts per year, which is our current participation or our current stake in the North American market. And now, to be a little bit more specific, should this occur, we wouldn't need any kind of additional capex, because the investments that we're already making right now and until 2016 would provide a capacity hedging that would be more than enough for Gamesa to deal with the possible growth in the North American market, should that occur, of course. José Manuel, as regards your question on the negative impacts in terms of opening up factories in India and Brazil, what I can say is that this is an impact that had its main effect in the first quarter, and it's now being corrected in Q2, and we are now achieving standard costs in terms of factory launch through continuous improvements. But on the whole, and as regards to the first half of the year, I think that we're ranging between 30 and 40 base points as regards the impact, the negative impact of these factories on our margins. Next question, please. Yes, if you want to ask your questions, please press 0 or 1 on your keypad. The next question comes from Juan Gravas. Yes, hello. I've got two questions. The first question has to do with solar power. I know that this is still a bit too early, but what level of profitability do you expect? Because you've given us a couple of figures, but I'd like to know how much capital would have to be used for that. And in this context, as you are not manufacturers but installers, what do you think could differentiate Gamesa from other stakeholders in this market? And the question that has to do with your megawatts per year. Well, you have 97% of coverage regarding your target. So do you think that it would be feasible to exceed this target with future orders? Well, as regards the first question, as regards the solar power, you know, we tried to explain this on the Capital Market Day. We tried to explain the possible strategy that we could implement. And what we said is that for the time being, we do not have any intention to manufacture modules within Gamesa, and that we're going to do an EPC branding. But the concept of EPC branding is not based on doing a normal EPC, but it has to be an EPC that differentiates us from our competition. So this is why we spoke about India, because in India, it's important. Well, promotional issues are very important from the technological perspective. Anything that has to do with selecting plots or buying land or evacuation and so on and so forth. And we also manufacture converters, which is something that EPCs do not usually do. And this is the concept that we try to develop, and this is what we have seen in our analysis. And what we need to know if the market is demanding that EPC branding, and if we were to confirm that this is the case, this would provide us with a leverage for growth relative to the future. Right, so this is what could differentiate Gamesa. And secondly, from the point of view of margins and from the point of view of the amount of capital used, I would like to repeat what I think we've said on more than one occasion, and that is that we are looking into if this EPC branding will allow us to obtain the returns we usually obtain with our wind activities. And this is one of the targets that we would like to achieve, and it's one of the things that we want to develop and one of the things that we want to check out. So during this period of time, I mean in 2015 and 2016, in our projects, let's see if we are able to achieve these margins. And to the extent that we are able to achieve these margins, we will progress. But what I would like to confirm right now is that the capital requirements, which is the question, well, capital requirements, we don't think that they have to be substantially greater than those that we already have in the case of wind activity. Juan, you also asked another question regarding coverage. And, well, we stand at a figure of 97%, and we're going to exceed the figure of 3,100 megawatts. So I think that the answer is pretty clear. We are going to maintain the guidance we've given of 3,100. We're not changing our guidance, and we've already positioned ourselves in the top range, and we still think that we will remain there at about 3,100 megawatts in the top range. Next question, please. There are no more questions in Spanish. Let's move on to the questions in English.
Our next question comes from a line of Alok Katre from SocGen. Please go ahead. Hi, this is Alok Katre from SocGen. Thanks for taking my questions. Well, a couple of questions, if I may. First and foremost, on the working capital, obviously we've seen quite a sharp reduction now for the second quarter in a row. I was just wondering, looking at the chart on the slide, how we should think about the quarterly working capital trends going forward. I mean, are we getting into a situation or phase where the seasonality itself is being structurally reduced, meaning, Q1, Q2, Q3, the working capital levels are not as high anymore, and which also means that in Q4 you don't get the usual seasonal working capital inflow as well. Is that how we should sort of think about working capital through the year going, let's say in 2016, 17 or so on? And obviously a related question is, given what we've what you've achieved in H1, do you think the less than 5% sort of guidance for working capital is now very conservative? And what are sort of moving parts on that side? So that was on the working capital side, first and foremost. A second question that I had was on Adwen. I mean, perhaps you could talk about where the 8-megawatt platform stands today, what sort of outlay is expected for the development. I know it will be spent by the JV, but perhaps you could also then just remind us of how well Adwen is capitalized in the context of that spend. And the last is a little bit of a sort of a housekeeping question. Perhaps if you could help me with the mix of full and risk versus the normal spares and labor sort of maintenance contracts in the backlog and also within Q2 orders. And also if you could help me with spares versus labor within the revenues for H1, please. Thank you.
Muy bien, con respecto a working capital, la primera pregunta.
As regards the working capital, your first question, what we expect in the case of the working capital is that this evolution or this seasonality of working capital is to be maintained over the next few years and in the next quarters. Although it is true that we are working very hard, we're trying to reduce the average working capital, and this is something you can see in the different presentations and in the information we have submitted. We are reducing the average working capital year after year, and this, what it does, it reduces the percentage points in terms of difference between the December working capital and the working capital of the different quarters of the first, second and third quarters of the year, although we will maintain a certain amount of working capital seasonality, and perhaps it will be lower than what we've had traditionally or in the past. Now, as regards the specific question as to whether we are going to maintain our working capital guidance below 5%, the answer is yes. We will maintain working capital guidance below 5%, and we have sometimes explained too that working capital, that in our business there are different very relevant impacts in terms of working capital that arise from collections or receipts at a certain point in time for a certain project, for a certain customer. There are relative figures that could reach up to 1% relative to sales, that this could change one of your working capital by 1 percentage point, and you don't have that under control. So we maintain a guidance below 5%, but we do not rule out, of course, that we could repeat the figure of last year. That could happen, of course, although we do not want to sound too optimistic as regards working capital at this point in time. We are working on this, especially on reducing the average working capital, which is what you can see as regards reducing seasonality too. Now, and as regards Adwen, the development of 8 megawatts, I don't know, perhaps you could say something about this. Perhaps you could add some details here. The 8-megawatt unit, is still sticking to the development timing that had been established at the beginning of the creation of the joint venture, and the 8-megawatt machine was being developed quickly. It's going to be a very competitive machine as regards weight and cost, with a modular design, and it's going to meet all the standardization requirements and the timing. Well, by the second quarter of 2017, the machine will be fully certified. and it will have already had 4 or 5 months of operations at sea. So there will be no deviation relative to the timing and no deviation relative to the costs or the targets that have been set for the 8-megawatt machine. Well, as regards to the capitalization of Adwin, that was another of your questions. The current situation of Adwin is that as regards the creation of the joint venture, both partners provided assets and no liabilities, and this is a company that is being born without any debt and continues without any kind of debt, and the needs relative to resources that the company has for the next 2 years are 100 to 150 million, million euros, which would be the resources that would have to be provided by Gamesa, that are not going to be provided directly via cash, but rather the company, what the company will do is raise a banking funding with the guarantee of the partners, and we're already working on this, and we think that the outlook is very positive as regards to raising a banking funding for Adwin. And of course, at the beginning, as it's a new company, it will receive the support of the partners. Finally, and there's another question that has to do with the full risk contracts, which I think account for nearly 70% of our backlog as well as of our sales figure. These are full risk contracts. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from the line of John McLaughlin from HSBC. Please go ahead. Please go ahead, Mr. McLaughlin. Our next question comes from a line of John McLaughlin from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you fine.
Fantastic. Two questions. Firstly, on CapEx, just to confirm that this, the higher CapEx that you're indicating in the second half is enough to fund your expansion, your targets to 2017. I mean, what increase to staff costs and other costs will this expansion incur if we take your Q2 costs as a starting point? Secondly, on O&M, we had 6% year-on-year growth in Q2, 4% in Q1, despite an FX tailwind, and despite very strong growth in contracts with your new deliveries. Can you comment on your growth expectations here and what pricing you're seeing on O&M, and what upside you think you see from 13% EBIT margins? Thank you.
Well, as regards CapEx, in the first semester of the year, we have a CapEx figure of 56 million euros in CapEx investments. But what we do expect for the second half of the year is that our CapEx will be more adjusted relative to the CapEx guidance that we've given for the entire year, that is between 4 and 5%. And the final figure between 4 and 5% will depend on the order intake that will require growth CapEx, as we explained. We have a maintenance CapEx between 3 and 3.5%, and we also have growth for CapEx, which is something additional at a rate of 50 base points every 50 megawatts. And this growth CapEx, as explained, is very modular, and we do this whenever we have a clear visibility as regards order intake and when we have also a clear visibility in terms of growth. And what we think is that in the second half of the year this growth will be confirmed, which is something that we're already seeing in the case of order intakes, and we'll have CapEx figures relative to sales that will be higher than those that reported in the first quarter and more in line with the guidance given to the market between 4 and 5% and more in line too with the guidance given to the market in terms of how our activities will evolve relative to 2017. In these 3.5 or 3.8 gigawatts that we are now considering or contemplating for 2017. And as regards operations and maintenance, the question is, how do we see growth and how do we see prices and margins? Well, we in terms of operations and maintenance, as we said at the Capital Markets Day, we can see that sales are going to evolve over the next few years. There's going to be a positive evolution with high single-digit growth in terms of sales evolution. And this will also allow us to confirm growth in margins and an evolution of margins towards a 13% or slightly above. We see no changes relative to what we said during the Capital Markets Day, but here there are several factors that help us. On the one hand, we have the evolution of the sales figure that is fully in line with what we presented in terms of activities. So these megawatts are gradually being incorporated to our sales figures. And then we also have the arrival of added value products, as I pointed out before. And these are figures that we already have in this third quarter with these 900 megawatts that have already been sold to Energy Trust, and we trust that we'll be successful with these added value products. And this produces a positive evolution in terms of operation and maintenance with this growth, as I said, a high single digit, and also with a positive evolution in the margins. As regards prices, this is something that we already pointed out, and for traditional customers, there's a downward pressure in terms of pricing, and we are dealing with this through growth in megawatts and by implementing successfully high added value products. I'm going to give the floor to the chairman so that he can close, because I'm afraid that we have no more questions. Well, thank you very much. Well, as a summary of this presentation, the first half of the year has been fully in line with what the company expected, with growing activities and with greater order intake and with a generation of margins that is fully in line with what we had forecast, and we are getting ready for future developments. In other words, what we said during the Capital Market Day on June the 16th is something that we can confirm, or we are confirming here. And the outlook we have relative to the future, this is based on growing, on achieving an expansion by fulfilling the margins we've already established. So this is why we talk about operational leverage, which is an important thing. And this is the summary of what we're dealing with. So Gamesa is still continuing fully in line with what has been contemplated for the 15-17 business plan. Thank you all very much for your attention. Goodbye.